Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, you'll be both win.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Sexy Unique Podcast. I am here with friend of the pod, writer Matt Lally. Hi.
Hi. I'm here.
Welcome back.
So glad to be here.
It's good to have you. All the way from NYC. We're now just like, we're Skyping, we're doing it. You have a headset on. You're like a true professional.
Hey, I'm podcasting here. I know. I feel like you got to go. If you're going to do headset, this is my old like Rosetta Stone, like pre-Bluetooth headphones headset. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're going to do a headset, you got to have backwards hat on, right? Backwards cap on.
Yeah, it's a good look. It's everything very like sports.
Yeah, everything is contained, streamlined, dialed in.
I was almost for a second, I was thinking your hat was on over the headphones, which would be a really wild look.
That's a more advanced technique that, I mean, speaking for myself, I'm not there yet.
That's when it's fully integrated and you have become headset.
That's what Charlemagne does.
How have you been finding this season of Vanderpump Rules? Like, what are your thoughts? What emotions are going on?
I don't know how this is going to come off, but I don't necessarily go in for this like narrative of like, is it good or is it bad? You know, I never really home in on like, oh, like this season was a bad season, this season was a good season. For me, it all just kind of is what it is. I don't know what that says. I think that what I take away from reality shows or what I like about reality shows maybe is not exactly what the general population is looking for. So to me, it's all just kind of like this one thing, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. It's a very zen outlook.
I guess so. Yeah. There's definitely times it's more, I think, yeah, maybe on like an episode to episode basis, this episode didn't really give me a whole lot and this episode gave me a lot more, but I would be hard pressed. I mean, you know, like everybody knows the really epic season one, and then whatever the one where Jack sleeps with Kristen, that's like three or four or something.
That's season we often two. Reference, yeah.
Oh, so, and okay. Then, we often reference season two. But I've been loving it. I think that this season has been ramping up. The episode, not this week that we're going to talk about, but this week was great. I thought the week prior to that, I thought was very strong.
It was great.
It's all good stuff for me.
Yeah, like I'm sad that they've saved all this for the end, because it's like this is the point where it's getting really interesting for me again. But yeah. Here's hoping that we can, now that they've integrated like front-facing self-filmed like confessionals, maybe that we'll see like a whole new side of technology for the next season of Vanderpump. Yeah, like
a whole new dimension of Vanderpump.
I hope they figure it out.
Yeah, I definitely see. Well, I mean, yeah, just to jump directly to the end of the episode, it seems like it seems like a lot of stuff is getting teed up that is not going to get tied up in the season finale. So we're probably looking at a seasonal cliffhanger, but the next season is going to be a super TBD. So.
Yeah, it's all very up in the air. Did you watch Summer House, or do you watch Summer House?
Okay, so I did not care for Summer House when I watched. I just watched maybe a handful of episodes of season one. Mm-hmm. Wasn't into it, but because of y'all singing its praises on your various platforms, I decided to give season four, the penultimate season, chance. I just skip season season three, I guess. Season three is when they retooled, right? And season four is happening
they
now.
They had a lot of newbies in, and then we just ended season four.
So I went back. So I started watching season three, and my initial reaction was, or my reaction to season three was similar to my initial reaction, which was like, all of the men on this show are horrific.
Like, bad.
These are unappealing people. But then I said, okay, maybe I can reframe my expectations, just kind of root for these. The women are kind of great. So it's like, okay, maybe I'll just root for the women and just kind of like watch them navigate having to deal with these bozos. But then you do kind of, I mean, slowly but surely, you know what I'm about to say. You kind of just... you kind of start to get it with the guys, you know, you start to see it in them.
Yeah. And then you end up by the end, you're just like rooting for everyone. It's like a very deceptive show in that way.
Because, yeah. Like, and you're right. It is kind of just like it's a nice place to be for an hour. It's nice to be in the house, in that zone. What's up with that? So I'm only about halfway through season three, or maybe three quarters of the way through season three. What is up with that kid, Jordan? He's like just the Antichrist or something?
He's just like, yeah, the devil incarnate. There is no rhyme or reason for him. And it's still, there still isn't, because he's a little bit, he's around a bit in season four, but then he ultimately gets like released. And I pray every night that will be the last time we ever see him, because I've never understood why of Jordan.
He seemed like he came in with some kind of game plan almost, but like the game plan, but it didn't make any sense, because he would have been making himself look a different way than he was making himself look if he had a true strategy.
Yeah, like we,
you know what I mean? He came in like,
we never got to the bottom of like anything about him. Like, I think people start to catch on to the fact that he's lying about everything in season three. Totally. Yeah. Then it's like,
he lifted his entire losing your virginity story from 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah. And like, it makes no sense. And then everyone, I think there's a moment where people are like, is he gay? Or like, but, and then there's a whole thing about how his, like, he can't get an erection, like, enough.
That's
to
where
have
I'm
sex.
At right now. Okay. I'm like smack dab in the middle of this ED journey.
Yeah. But I think it's just a series of mysteries that are never solved with Jordan. And then
truly
ultimately
bizarre.
It's just time for him to go. And it's the best decision that everyone's ever made.
good hair though, and
great hair
and great physique. He's got, his hair is like he has gorgeous hair. The way that he styles it is a little bit douchey, but his physique is really one for the books.
He's a real, like, the way he looks to me is kind of like, he's a bit like a Greek statue or something like that, where you're like, that looks nice. Like, love it in the garden. But in real life, like, you don't want to interact with it at all. Like, if it came to life, you'd be really freaked out.
Yeah, you're, like, at a picnic and you're trying to, like, rest your head on his jutting, like, pelvic bone or something, you know? It's not luxurious.
But the end of this season, well, they did like a Secrets Revealed episode to like cap off season 4. And at the end of it, they kind of had, it was a really weird like check-in with all the cast of like what they've been up to since quarantine. And with like a voiceover and them all reassuring the viewer that like, they want nothing more than to like be back in the house and hopefully they're going to figure something out. It was like ending on like a really like, we know what's going on and we're also sad about it, but like, hopefully we figure it out. So I'm thinking and hoping that Vanderpump Rules will do the same thing. Like, they'll just figure out how to make another season.
Yeah. Well, isn't the inside scoop on Summer House that they're going to do an almost like kind of Big Brother style, just like, you know, no camera crew. They're all like, you know, just set up the cameras in the house and just have the cameras be on 24/7.
I think that was an option, which I'm totally down with. But nothing is necessarily set in stone at this point.
Yeah.
But
I'm a huge fan of Love Island, which is the same basic setup. So that piques my interest for sure.
I love any Big Brother like fly on the wall kind of camera stuff. And I'm also, it just shocks me for some reason, I'm always like pearl clutching whenever people are having sex on Summer House. Like, I'm just like, I can't believe we're seeing this or like hearing this. And I don't know why, because I'm a very hard person to shock, but I guess it's like in that Bravo world, you rarely see that kind of like
reality TV sex is always the same. You know who pioneered it? Did you ever see the movie that they made of MTV's The Real World? It was like a movie version, like a Spring Break MTV Real World movie. That's the first time you saw it, but it's always, as you well know, a night vision and a lump of comforter just fucking so like much faster and harder than it needs to be, or you ever would in real life.
Yeah, it's always like so many comforter lumps, which would be, I think, a really hard part of like trying to have sex with a camera in the room, but not wanting people to see it. Like, that adds a whole other element to like the act. But then I also love on Summer House when they just like will go into a closet or the bathroom. Like, those kind of walled off spaces get utilized a lot.
Do you watch Love Island at all? UK, of course.
I've tried to watch it, but it really seemed overwhelming because I was like, there's so many episodes. Like, I don't know how I will find the time to like fit these all into my life with everything else that I want to watch. So I kind of gave up on it.
That's how I watched the first episode of season 1. I was like, all right, this is kind of whatever. I'm kind of down for this. And then when I saw there was 36 hours of it, I was like, oh, there's no way. But then I went to work or whatever. And then all I could think about was getting home and watching more. But I say that to say this, in terms of having sex on reality TV, Love Island is essentially just a porno. Mm-hmm. And the one, but yeah, it's the same, but it's the same setup, just I was going to say undulating comforter, but it's really more of like just a pounding. But the one girl had the strategy where she said, okay, check it out. She goes, if we just have sex, no blanket, just fully out in the open, they can't show it. Mm-hmm. And she was wrong.
They'll find
say
a
that
way
one,
to show anything.
That was a hard backfire on her part.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And there's even a moment in this episode of Vanderpump Rules where, like, it's doing a montage of just, like, butt, like, twerking and butt shaking. And there's an underwater shot of a bunch of girls, like, twerking for the camera. And some, I think it's Charlie's or one of the girls' vaginas is, like, completely blurred out. But yet they shot anyway. So, like.
It's tiled out. They had to tile out. They had to tile out Charlie's front wedgie or whatever.
I was like, "Wow, you would think that they would just throw the shot out? No, not happening. We're gonna keep it in."
I have a lot to say about it when we get there.
Okay, let's get into this episode. It begins with the Toms arriving to clean Sir's gender-neutral bathroom in their Sunday best in matching outfits. And they're, let's be honest, like, they're not really cleaning anything.
I've been to Sir once. You've been there, I'm sure, a few times. I mean, I know you've been there a few times.
Is that the only
bathroom that they have? Or do they have a men's, a women's, and a gender-neutral?
I believe there are two bathrooms, but they're each, like, a single toilet bathroom, I want to say.
Right.
And, like, they're in the hall before you walk out to the alley. There are two bathrooms on either side of the hall.
That confirms my suspicion, and this is, a bit of a pet peeve of mine, when you have just a single-use bathroom, but then you have to, like, sanctimoniously advertise it as a gender neutral bathroom. You know what I mean? Just have it be like WC, you know what I mean? You don't have to be like, "Hey, look at us," you know?
It's a very, like, obvious nod to Lisa's, where she stands with, like, the LGBTQ community. If you had any questions, please just know it's a gender neutral bathroom. But the bathrooms at Tom Tom are also gender neutral. And they are multi-stall bathrooms.
A multi-stall gender neutral. I love it. And of course, you need the signage as well. I don't mind the one that, you know, the little sign. It's like a half guy, and then the skirt sticks out on the side. They're cleaning the bathroom in the middle of dinner service.
Yeah, which is not like. Well, if somebody needs to use it.
And then Lisa comes in and she's surprised to see them. And then she says, "Is it blocked?" Like if the toilet is clogged, then now it makes sense that Tom and Tom are in there in matching outfits, unclogging it. You know what I mean?
But also gives away the fact that, like, the toilet is probably blocked a lot of the time.
Yeah. That's its natural state.
Yeah. And I'd love, like, is it blocked? And that would explain, like, why Tom and Tom have, like, come over from a different restaurant to try and deal with it.
Cause there was a sincerity to that question that I could hear in her voice.
It was a real question. It wasn't, like, just, like, pretending. It was a deep concern.
Sandoval gets the toothbrush gag off, the classic toothbrush gag.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, he set up the whole softball game. Like, we need to go back and see who was responsible for Tom Tom losing the softball game, because I feel like he set up the whole wager just to get off this toothbrush joke.
Totally. I could see it. Yeah. He'd planned this meticulously down to, like, the outfits with, like, a matching kind of black glove that worked with, like, what they were wearing. And then he got me the first time I watched the episode with the toothbrush gag.
Wait, you said, "Oh no, Tom, no.
Ew, gross. Why would he do that?"
Tom, no.
Second time I was like, "Oh, that was a joke." And I guess I just forgave him in between. I was like, classic Sandoval. He's just going to chomp on that toothbrush.
But then you know, by his own admission, Schwartz is, like, putting his dirty latex gloves in his mouth and shit.
Yeah, like, just, like, wiping his face with them.
Just,
like,
wiping.
Schwartz is the kind of person who I feel like when wherever he goes, like a mess follows him. And he's the kind of person, like when he cleans something, it somehow ends up messier than pre-clean.
Yeah. like Ryan on The Office when he's like, oh, I'll just find a way to make it worse somehow.
Yeah, he like can't. It's like there are just some people that should not be trusted to clean. They just like can't do it.
Can't be trusted.
James is DJing and he says, being back behind the booth, it's a new life. And I was like, I'm really happy for him to see him getting quote unquote work again, where he's just asked to DJ for free at Sir and other friends' houses.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I love this notion that, like, you know, DJing in the lounge at Sir on Wednesday is like the be all end all for this kid, you know? He should be at whatever, Greystone Manor or whatever they have now, you know?
Yeah, like, why not? He has the talent, obviously. Like, I know he tours around at this point.
He didn't get 86 from any other clubs. There's no reason for him not to have a full schedule of DJing.
I know. So I hope that COVID is resolved sooner rather than later so James can resume his DJ career.
When Schwartz was doing his little like fantasy montage about shaving Lisa's legs, and I wanted to ask you, because he says that her bathroom smells like $300 candle.
I liked that price point that he picked out.
So what do we think? Now, I know that it's possible to get up into that price range in terms of size. You know, if you're talking about like whatever, like how much is a 3-wick Cirée Trudon? Those are, you know, a few hundred or something, right?
There's like the intermezzo size, which is a 240, and that's a 2-wick, and then you bump up to a 5-wick for 540, or like between 540 and 600. So I guess she could probably have the 2-wick Sears.
I guess my question was, what are we looking at in just like a 1-wick at this price point?
1-wick, 300.
That's not really a thing,
to me, because
right?
I can't off the top of my head. Maybe like a Fornacetti candle. I feel like they could probably get in there, which are like they're the candles that they have vessels with like painted faces on them or flowers kind of that look like sketches.
So you're paying for the vessel, essentially.
It seems as though you're paying that extra price for the vessel rather than the scent. And I don't aesthetically respond to that kind of vessel, so I just have never gone down that road. But it really does speak to some people.
Have you ever received any intel on like what the candle of choice at Villa Rosa is?
Well, Villa Rosa, I know that Lisa, or maybe not Lisa, but Sir, has their own line of candles. They offer three.
Is it a collab with somebody else, or is it just
Sir? No, it's just like
Sir
a straight-up Sir candle. And so
it's a sexy, unique candle.
Yeah, and I think that they're medium expensive. Like, I think that they might be like $45 to $50, which is nothing to just like poo-poo at. Like, that's an investment as far as a candle.
There's no way it smells good.
No, there's absolutely not. And like, I've thought of buying them just as a joke, but then I realized like I care about myself too much to like buy candles as a joke. It's not a laughing matter to me.
It's gonna be a bad enough scent to the, you don't want to play yourself.
Yeah.
Even for the gag.
Mm-hmm. Yo, they're $35. Sir fragrances.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's like for a gift, maybe.
It would be a great gift. Yeah.
Maybe for the bathroom.
Put it on someone else, you know? Give it to someone else. They do have an anniversary candle that I'm looking at now that says claims it's the ultimate seductive candle, rich, luxurious, and mysterious to celebrate our 20th anniversary with you. So experience the uber chic atmosphere of Sir right in your own home with waxed wood, rum, black musk, and bitter orange peel scented candle. Wow. That's a good gift.
Wasn't it an orange peel tilapia or something that gave that woman food poisoning?
It was the orange sauce. Yeah, it was like an orange sauce. So it's got orange sauce notes
for instant at home nausea.
For instant elimination from both ends. It doubles as like a weight loss plan and the scent. But this 20th anniversary, wild that Sir's been around for 20 years, first and foremost. But this candle, I would give it as a gift to a real, like a sup head.
Yeah, sup head for sure.
I wonder if Lisa burns her own Sir candles at home, because it seems like she enjoys everything that she puts out into the world.
She has a commitment to her own brand, and she, I mean, no disrespect, but like, does like her taste level is like at that level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a very specific taste level, so it could just be that she burns her own candles. But I also would like to know, and if anyone has intel on what kind of scents Lisa has at home besides like fresh flowers, let me know, because I love just knowing celebrities' favorite candle choices.
Yeah, dress in all black ski mask and infiltrate.
Villarosa is made of glass. You can throw a brick through any one of the walls. Get in just really fast. Run to the bathroom and see what she has going.
Toss one of those little blow-up Navy SEAL rowboats into the moat at Villarosa.
And just like start rowing around. Find the weak entry point into the house. Avoid the swans. And then
you could use one of those thermal scanners, because it's gonna clue you into where the candle is burning if you have a heat signature.
True.
Signature vision goggle.
Very important that you liaise somehow with Rosia so that she could help give you intel. I'm sure that like you could make friends with her or work out some sort of deal where she like helps figure it out.
That's your in.
Mm-hmm.
You camp out outside Villarosa and you follow Rosia. Well, actually, Rosia probably lives there, huh?
She probably lives there. I'm sure she's like quarantining there with Ken and Lisa. Like, I can't imagine they're left to their own devices without a house manager or some help of some sort. So yeah, it might take some serious cash to get Rosia to like betray her employer, but
yeah, you gotta grease Rosia's palms.
Yeah, it might be a long process, you know, so
we'll get there.
Yeah. Raquel comes up to James in the booth, and she is matching his level of excitement with the DJ, and she goes, "My tables always ask me when you're DJing, and now I can tell them you're DJing tonight." As if they wouldn't know when they've walked into the restaurant that he's DJing.
Although, I mean, I can sympathize with Raquel. You know, when you're constantly getting the kind of like same annoying question to finally have a good answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like when, you know, when people always ask you like, "Oh, hey, like, What have you been up to?" You know, and you're just kind of like, you know, man, same old.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, then you finally, you know, you take that trip to Reykjavik or whatever, and then now you can be like, "Oh, just got back from Reykjavik."
Yeah, the dreaded "what have you been up to" question. I will answer it in a brief sentence, and then I immediately like to turn it around on the other person. And then you have to fully deflect and like move on from that.
Have to have something in your pocket to immediately ask them about.
Mm-hmm. I do a quick turnaround on the "what are you up to lately" questionnaire. Brittany approaches the Toms and she goes, "Hi, Pooper Scoopers." And then,
hey, Pooper Scoopers. Yeah.
I love her hair though. Like the braid crimping is really doing it for me. And Brittany's in a great mood until Sandoval reveals.
Yeah, she's in a great mood for 3.5 seconds.
Yeah, and then her world comes crashing down. And she enters a private hell of her own making when Sandoval tells her that he's having his own party, his rival event.
This is the first of, like, a few missed opportunities throughout the episode to really, for Sandoval and others, to, like, sort of reiterate the point that he's not throwing another party out of mere spite. He's throwing another party because he was disinvited from Jax's party, you know?
Yeah.
He should be like, listen, Jax disinvited me. We now, as a result of being disinvited, we have now set up our own party. Why don't y'all come to our party? We'd love to have you.
Bring the slide over. And let's do this. We have booze. You clearly have food. So, like, let's just merge and have a fun time.
This is be perfect. If Jax is having an episode, he can just deflate the slide, you know. You can just use the deflation of the slide as, like, some kind of breathing exercise and just bring that on over to our place.
Yeah, they live, like, 5 minutes away from each other too. Like, they're in the same neighborhood, so it's very feasible to just, like, join forces here.
Yeah, just toss it on top of Jax's 76 T-top Stingray or whatever.
But I love Sandoval and thank him for doing the important work of just, like, trolling Jax and Brittany, because this, like, ruins Brittany's life, and she stalks off, and you hear, like, her just muttering to herself. She's like, this is fucking bullshit.
She's so cheesed off.
She is pissed. And then we hit Hyde Cocktail Lounge, which is, for anyone that is not familiar with, like, the Hyde brand, like, has been a long time figurine in, like, the LA nightlife scene. And then the Hyde expanded from just being a club that, like, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan went to in, like, the mid-aughts. And now it's, like, a lounge off of Sunset, and it has some of the worst Yelp reviews I've ever seen, because I remember when it opened and I started seeing it, I just, like, went to look, and it was, like, a 2.5-star Yelp review kind of place. But Charlie works there. I love
that Charlie works there. That felt right to me.
It makes a lot of sense, and I would even be willing to, like, I'm like, Hyde Cocktail Lounge needs a show of all the waiters and waitresses there. Like, I would gladly watch. Because I also love that Charlie is wearing a bra. She's just, like, fully just wearing a bra with, like, an open shirt.
She's a go-getter. I know the type, you know. She doesn't need to, between her Vanderpump paycheck, you know, Vanderpump paycheck alone, she doesn't need to be working at Hyde. But she's just down to keep working at Hyde.
She's working from all angles, and I admire the hustle a lot. And I think I've said it before, I'll say it again, Charlie's a star.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, keep an eye out for her. Because she also is, like, she's the kind of person that's, like, bitchy with a smile and laugh. Like, she'll just make fun of people right to their faces. And I really enjoy that. Especially Brett. I like it when she does it to Brett.
Well, she flames him at during this interaction for his flannel t-shirts, for his penchant for flannels.
Is flannel, like, your thing? And then Brett also can't handle getting, like, trolled by anyone, so he's immediately like, no, not really. And then it cuts, thankful to the editors for the super cut of all the times that Brett's worn flannel. And then
he has in fact worn a flannel in every single scene that he's been in, including on the beach.
Except for his talking head, where he wears, like, a really unclear, like, collarless red shirt that will haunt me until the day I die. But later, I also loved when he shows up at the comedy club, he's wearing another flannel, but it's been, like, bleached out and distressed. And I feel like that was his reaction to like
being asked. He's like, "What? Okay, what is my most non-flannel-y flannel?
Flannel with a twist."
Did you clock it when they walk in to hide and there's just like the neon, like just a very run-of-the-mill, like basic neon sign that says like Hyde Lounge, and he goes, "Sign is so chic."
He loves it.
He's doing the
of simple pleasures.
When Charlie's roasting him, it's twofold. First it's for the flannel, and then it's for something else that I can't remember right now.
Well, Dana goes, he's like a sexy Paul Bunyan, which was
great. Yeah.
And Charlie goes,
Is he though?
And I just wrote, God, I love Charlie.
Brett is doing with his floppy hair journey is kind of a pet peeve of mine. You know how he's doing this different hairstyle, and he's doing that thing where it's like, obviously, you know, that's the first thing someone's going to notice, right? And he's doing this thing where he's going to everyone and he's like, "Oh, like, does it look weird? Like, does it look stupid?" You know, like, he knows it looks good. Like, he didn't just run out of hair gel. You know what I mean?
No, those curls.
But he has to do this self-deprecatingly like call attention to it to like, you know, to validate it or something. It's like people do the same thing when they make like an out of the box. Fashion choice, you know, and they walk in, the first thing they have to do is call attention to it and be like, I mean, and here I am wearing my friggin' pajamas. Like, I mean, who even does that? You know, it's like, just wear your pajama outfit. Just
It's a very like model. It seems like a model with no other talking points, like a go-to just for a model-y guy to say. Because also the hair is like perfectly curly, like. I've watched YouTube tutorials trying to like get a curly that amount
it's
of
like
curl.
It's like a perm vibe.
So many sprays I've purchased to try and get that curl.
It's a corollary to like that culture of like when two people see each other, the first thing they do is, "Oh my god, your dress! Like, oh my god, your bag! Oh my god," you know. And it's like, so if I don't immediately get like the, "Oh my god, your curly hair," I have to be like, "What about my, does my hair look good? Or is my hair okay? Do you like it?"
Brett and Dina have a truly zero chemistry date.
What's going on?
I don't understand. I'm like, they are not, like, nothing about it gels. Like, their relationship is just completely unbelievable. And then also when he's like, "Let's do shots of Jaeger at the bar," I was just like, a shot of Jaeger is a wild choice any night of the week, but especially like on a date with someone.
No, it's no longer. We're past.
Yeah.
We're not doing Jaeger anymore.
No, it's done.
And Dana is like in the background pouring a Miller Lite down her throat.
And then
glugging a freaking Miller Lite or whatever.
Chugging. And he brings up Max again. He's obsessed with Max. And like, I think I think he just doesn't like, maybe he just doesn't like any of the women on the show, truly. Like, the one person that he did kind of take interest in and ask out was Charlie, who immediately was like, "Nah, lol, I don't think so," to him. He's trying to, like, do this Dana storyline, but he also doesn't want to lead her on. So I feel like he's stuck in between having to act for the cameras, like, "We're on a date and I like this person," but then also trying to low-key be like, "I don't actually like you," whenever they're out, because lest she get confused, like, where he stands.
Because she fully initiates the kiss in the parking lot.
I have a now from I cringed so hard, because it's the most awkward, like, walk out into just like a cornered forced makeout.
Yeah, and she delivers her like her little prepackaged about to go in for the kiss line, which was, oh, I just feel like it was such a great night, and you know that she's like been waiting to say that for the past half an hour, like thought about it, like when she went to the bathroom before they left, mm-hmm. and he whatever leans into the kiss once it's already happening, but it's like he almost does like a spin around. It's like he could have gone without the kiss. He wouldn't have been sweating it. If the kiss didn't happen, he wouldn't have been sweating a no kiss.
No, he tried to kind of dodge it too. There was a bit of a dance.
Yeah, exactly.
There was
nowhere to go. There was a
do-si-do. He just gave in to the makeout.
It was a do-si no kiss.
Ugh, I love, though, I feel like it's like you usually see women in that situation where it's like an awkward kiss that you're just like,
oh, yeah.
But I enjoy the turning of the tables. Oh, if I would also be like super embarrassed if I was Dana, like rewatching all of this, because I don't even believe that she likes him that much either. Like, I think that it's pretty mutual, the lack of feelings on both ends. But she's
taking an approach of trying
to sell it more.
I want to believe, for Dana's sake, that it's a make Max jealous ploy.
Yeah,
I think there's evidence that we'll get to later to speak to that. But I know for her sake, I think that that's a better look, even though that's kind of foul to do whatever. I think it's a better look for her if that's what, as opposed to just a genuine attraction to Brett.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt there as well. I refuse to believe that she's actually like deeply attracted to Brett.
Her entire persona is that of person that would never be attracted to a guy like Brett.
Exactly. So that's why
that's her whole shtick.
Yeah. Like, you would think that she would be joining forces with Charlie to just like make fun of Brett any chance that she gets. And instead she's like, he's a sexy Paul Bunyan. And you're just like, who are you?
He's not.
Brittany comes home. She's all business now. She's pulled the crimps back into like a tight ponytail, and she comes home and just starts immediately pouring herself shots of tequila, which I love. Like, Brittany's whole life is just a series of tequila shots. It's her coping mechanism.
It's too much to ask of Brittany and Jax, but you're not supposed to keep tequila in the freezer, for starters.
Oh, true. Yeah, you're supposed to just keep it room temp.
And you don't need to rip a shot by yourself and then chase it with like a Diet Schweppes ginger ale. Like, you're at just pour yourself a glass. You own the tequila. You can have as much as you want.
I love like a no page. It's truly, it's like taking a deep breath in and out to like center yourself. Is that, that's like the equivalent of it for them. I love drinking like furiously, just like needing to drink in that way.
Yeah. I need to recreate the sensation that I have when I'm at a bar of ripping a shot to my facial. She's on the warpath. She comes in so hot. Even Jax is taken aback. He has just served himself a brick of leftover macaroni and cheese. And he's, hey, I'm just, you know, just trying to have dinner here.
She tells him about the rival pool party, and then he begins to flip out, and he goes, she's like, I don't understand why they're doing this. And he goes, it's not they. It's Tom Sandoval and Ariana. And I was like, that was, I think, who she was talking about. But I think.
Yeah, that's who they was.
But I love him clarifying. And then he goes on like a misogynistic rant where he's like, Tom Sandoval, he's just a woman. And that's not to like, it's not to like, not insulting all women, but he's just a fucking girl. And I was like, I live for misogynist Jax Taylor.
he tries to redeem himself. We'll just sort of bop ahead just a minute. He tries to redeem himself later in his front facing camera moment when he says, "Man, these female trainers at Lit Method make the male trainers look like girls." So he completely botches it and makes it worse as he's often wanted to do.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Can't get it right.
No.
We have a glimpse of Brittany almost leaning in to it being Jax's fault, and you see the pushback. She of course obviously immediately gets from Jax, and then you can just see her kind of flip the switch, make the calculation. All right, there's no reason to go down the blame Jax path. We'll just do like we usually do, us versus the rest of the world.
Yeah, like she's like, I think that you maybe shouldn't have rage texted. And he's like, oh, so it's my fault now? And then he just gives up. He's so mad that he just gives up on his plate of mac and cheese and declares that he's going back to the gym. It's like 9 at night also.
Can you imagine if this was the milieu that you existed in? Like a casual dinner around the kitchen island is like, you know, an after work, like just, you know, meeting up with your spouse. That's the chillest time you're going to have. And it's like, mm-hmm. you don't even know like who this is worse for.
No, I imagine it's terrible for both. Like I can't imagine coming home to my beloved and pouring an immediate ice cold shot of tequila, just like throwing it back.
An iced syrup shot of Casamigos Blanco.
Yeah, like chugging it back and then being like, God, our friends suck. And then them getting so angry and worked up that they, like, for Jax to abandon a plate of mac and cheese and then go immediately to a really difficult workout, like, that also feels bizarre to me. Like that's not like how I precursor a workout ever.
No, it's got to. I mean, I don't know who knows what shift Brittany was working, but I'm like, I'm figuring this is like the end of her shift, so it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you know?
Yeah, but what's weird is like the next day when we get the front facing cameras, it's clearly daytime still. So I don't know if this was like, did Brittany come in like after like a morning or afternoon shift? And then she's like doing a shot at 4 p.m. or is this like late at night? And then we're just cutting to like the next morning. The timing actually is very like off.
Little murky. Darkest part of his egg. Is that what you're gonna say? Go on.
I was letting it because I was like, I hope that we touch on this, but I think that you're getting to exactly what I was gonna say.
When he goes, I'm going to the gym, feel free to track my location on my cell phone. And she goes, I sure will. And you know that this is a regular occurrence in their relationship. This is something that is done. Her routinely checking his location on his cell phone to keep tabs on him. And so now you know that there is no trust in this relationship whatsoever.
Zero trust. And why should there be? Like, they didn't do – Brittany later, I think she's like, I did a lot of work to forgive Jax, but then now here we are, like, back again. And I'm like, you don't – doing a lot of work and being, like, forgiving someone is not – like, that doesn't change the fact of who they are. You know what I mean? It's not the same as acceptance.
Obviously, this is a well-known fact that Brittany should have never stayed with Jax. She should not be with Jax. Jax was never and is never to be trusted. But on the same token, Brittany's not keeping up her end of the bargain of deciding to stay with him. If you say, okay, I'm not gonna leave you as a result of your infidelity. I'm gonna stay and I'm gonna forgive you. When you make that decision, you are then agreeing to not bring it up every 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
True.
She shouldn't. She should. she shouldn't have put herself in that position, but it's like, once you're going to forgive, you have to forget. And you know, you have to find a way to just at least act like you trust the person.
Totally. And even her mom told her in that season when Jax cheated, she was like, if you take him back, you can never talk about it again. And then Brittany was like, I know. Yeah. And like,
I remember actually, I remember thinking that that was actually kind of alarming advice from her mother at the time. But it turns out after, you know, hearing myself say it, that I agree with her.
Yeah, I mean, you can. And also, like, if you're going to, if someone's going to act a certain way to you and then you take them back and say it's all fine, you know the way that they fight with you. You know what's going to get them all, like, gassed up. So it's kind of on you to, like, not have them go there. Just accept that, like, this is, I'm dating, like, a hothead who, like, doesn't want to take responsibility for stuff. And so I just have to, like, accept that that's the person I'm with and then try and make it work.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think Jax is, like, I don't know exactly. I guess, like, with his dad passing away and, like, experiencing that level of, like, emotional pain and Brittany being there for him, like, there probably was some sort of guilt feeling of, like, I owe it to this person to, like, be a better man for her or be with her forever. But the whole thing between both of them is very misguided.
Yeah, I mean, there was that whole season where, you know, yeah, Jack was on his self-improvement tip, and it was all tied up with the death of his father and the marriage to Brittany as well. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and neither got, I don't think, resolved or improved, because we see now, like, even skipping forward to the end of this episode where he's like, yeah, now all this stuff has gone away and settled down.
Oh yeah.
And now here I am in this house in the valley with a wife.
he's regressing. It's time to regress.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Jax is, he must be a an investor in Lit Method, no?
He's either, yeah, actually, I used to think that he maybe just got, like, free workouts there, but now I feel like he probably is, because he features it so heavily on his social media, and, like, the calling it out on the show, it has to be. And he's been doing that for years, so
yeah,
it makes sense that he'd be getting more out of it than just free workouts.
And did you notice that the... did you notice that the Lit Method merch is just knockoff Off-White?
I didn't notice that. Is it knockoff?
You, like, see what he's doing on the rowing machine or whatever. You can see the back of his shirt in the mirror. Yeah, and it's just like, it's a black t-shirt. It's got, like, you know, a white diagonal stripes, and then it says Lit Method, like, in one of the Off-White fonts across the top. It's a complete knockoff.
Wow.
Somebody call Virgil.
Get Virgil on the line. On the
phone.
Get Virgil on the pod and let's, like, chat about it. Oh my God, that makes sense. Yeah. Lit Method, I mean, I fucked with it, and I've said it before on this podcast, because they used to have a studio in West Hollywood that was, like, on ClassPass. And I think I even worked out next to Jax and Brittany once in a Lit Method class when they used to live around these parts. Not my favorite workout, but love that for Jax. He's going 3 times a day.
I was into it. I could get into a 3-dayer Lit Method routine.
I love, like, it's just, I don't love rowing machines. I just
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days I could find. If I found, like, a fun workout that I liked, like, yeah, let's just, like, get jacked. But a rowing machine is always, like, when I'm doing HIIT classes and there's a rower involved, I'm always trying to get that out of the way first, because I just, like, hate rowing to nowhere.
Yeah, also worth mentioning that it's not helping Jax's, you know, physique or demeanor or just overall. He's looking maybe the worst that he's looked all season, all throughout this episode.
Yeah, why does he look so bad? Like, do you think he's just back on taking steroids and stuff?
He just can't get the haircut right. He needs to go back to, like, a down in front. He needs to go back to, like, a full shave or a down in front. But the short on the sides and the up in the front is over. And then also he's just, like, I don't know. There's just something about – he's just, like, he's not as beefy as he used to be, and he's just getting a little bit sort of everything's kind of hanging.
It's like a doughy hang. He's thickening up, but yeah. Also, like, yeah, it's not making sense. I worry about the level of steroids he's been
on. Like a ropey, but, like, not a taut rope. It's an unraveling rope, an unraveling twine.
I love, too, when he's on his way to Lit Method, he goes, I have to go to the bathroom really bad, but I'm just going to talk to you guys instead. And he's driving. He's literally driving a car from like the valley to wherever Lit Method is while also doing a front facing like camera Instagram story. He's a terror on the road. It's so unsafe.
Well, my initial reaction when he said that was that I thought that he had lied about going to the gym just because he had to go to the bathroom in a way that he didn't feel comfortable doing in his own home.
Probably, you know what that I mean? Too. Yeah. He's like, I just got to get out of here.
That's why, yeah, he's comfortable with the bathroom situation at Lit Method. So he just, you know, that's the first workout of the day. That's number one.
Yeah, get it out of the way, blow up the bathroom. He can do it with comfort and ease because he's an investor. And then just like,
yeah,
hit the resistance band.
Yeah, you can use the employees only bathroom on the side.
Oh, totally. Lisa and Ken corner the Toms and Tom Tom to rope them into another Ponzi scheme.
Did you not feel as though it was the right move for them to parlay, as they say, the money into a new investment?
I mean, what choice do they really have? Like, she's not going to open a restaurant next door to Tom Tom that's not Tom Tom.
Yeah, just for the garden.
That's just like a garden that's not brand, like that's the only way that restaurant is going to happen. So I guess like, why not just like double down on it?
And certainly Lisa doesn't need their investment to use their names at this point. Like, she's finagled it. I'm sure that she's got the licensing on lock.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, if she was just like the garden at Tom Tom or just like the garden, it wouldn't really matter. Like, but now I'm worried for them, and I think it might have actually been like really bad timing because they finished all the construction and everything and opened up that side garden literally like
they did
3 weeks before. It was like a mere matter of maybe 1 month to 2 weeks before COVID. So now it's just like all shut down, and they don't even do takeout. They've just like
they don't offer shut down. You can't like what's the you can't pick up like a tequila Katie in a like a plastic quart container for the road or anything?
Hun, if you could, I would be right there. Don't think that I haven't
just
looked on
posted on the corner. Ride your bike over there.
No, I've been trying like ever since this happened. My first move was like, I'm gonna go on Postmates and like I need those spicy buffalo wings that they have there, but the buffalo cauliflower wings, which are really just like a kind of a sesame like cauliflower, like fried cauliflower dish.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I want those so badly. And nope, there's not. They are done.
What if all the delivery guys for Sir and Tom Tom are like hot Sir and Tom Tom guys?
I know, they really should. Because now all these, I don't know if they're doing this in New York, but like a lot of places in LA have, what do they have? They are delivering cocktails.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, New York, you can get them delivered. They suspended all of the laws, so you can just, I mean, a lot of the places, they just have a window open. You can just buy a cocktail out the window of the bar.
I want to get a Clockwork Pink.
A Clockwork Pink.
And then I also want the buffalo, the buffalo cauliflower.
Yeah, the buffalo cauliflower are key.
Lala goes to Brittany's house dressed in one of the wildest outfits Lala's pulled all season.
Lala's outfit gave me a seizure.
It did. It like was contradictory. It was like three totally different vibes from like neck up and then like a robe of some sort, like a paisley, like a reminiscent of like an etro kind of look. But then on the bottom, like a snakeskin boot.
It was like a peak. Caked on Lala makeup style makeup, some kind of gold belly dancer choker, like a psychedelic paisley like smoking robe and a cheetah boot.
It was too much for me to handle, and also like for a comedy show.
Yeah, but then it then But then it's drawn in stark contrast to poor Brittany in her black and white checkered flannel and apartment glasses. Mm-hmm. They're in two completely different scenes. Wardrobe didn't let Brittany know what Lala was going to be packing when she came over.
No, no one was ready. And Brittany is like, you can tell she's in a funk because Jax is like raging out and has just been like at the gym for the entire morning. And he calls, what's wild is he calls Lala to like bitch at her about Brittany. And then Lala answers the phone in front of Brittany. And Jax is just like, I'm at the gym. My wife thinks I'm cheating again. What wife yells at her husband for going to the gym?
Everybody knows that if you put somebody on speakerphone in front of anybody else, the first thing you say is, hey, you're on speaker.
Yeah.
I got, you know, hey, you're on speaker. I got Brittany here. I would have laid into Lala for that after the fact.
Yeah, but they love doing that on reality TV with like a no speaker heads up, because Katie does that later on where she's on speaker with Brittany and then Schwartz just grabs the phone and he's like, you're being an idiot.
Yeah, that's the new secret conference call somebody in with somebody else on the line. Mm-hmm. What do they call that in Mean Girls? They have a name for it, right?
Oh yeah, they do. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Brittany's nervous that Jax is going back to his old ways, and I mean, going back, like he's already back. There's no go. It's already there.
That's like the meme of like Bugs Bunny holding a musket where it says like they about to make me go back to the old me. they about to make Jax go back to the old Jax.
It is the old Jax already. He posts more unhinged Instagram stories.
But wait, hold on. This phone call with Lala is when we find out the coup that Sandoval has pulled by booking by swooping in on James Kennedy to DJ the pool party.
Oh my God! Yes, this was so good. So
you kind of saw it coming, but I squawked nonetheless when I heard.
Yeah, I was also like very pleased with just like his and James. You know that he's on cloud 9 right now. Like, he's never been happier. First, he got that night back at Sur. He got to just, like, pop in the DJ booth and do his thing. And now he's getting phone calls for two different parties. He has to turn down opportunities to DJ.
Yeah.
Like,
he's back.
He's back. He's totally back. And, like, I love also, like, the completely inorganic way that they came to being like, Brittany's like, we need a DJ. Do you know any DJs? And then Lala's like, I know one DJ, James Kennedy.
Well, oh my God, they should have got what's the backup Sir DJ, like DJ Chris Johnson or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, they have like an in-house DJ that's always been there. Like, they should have gotten him.
Like DJ Sam Marcus. That would have made perfect sense for the backup party.
It really would. And I also am not clear on like why you would need a DJ at like you're just like pool hang, because everyone knows you can just like fire up a playlist on the aux cord. Yeah.
But also that other auxiliary, sorry, that other backup DJ, he works for ladies night. So he's in Katie Maloney's pocket anyway.
Oh yeah. She pulls those strings there. Oh my God. Brett and Stassi, Bo, and Max show up to the West Side Comedy Theater, which I Googled. It's in Santa Monica. Not like a known hub of comedy by any means, but I like know the way that that like comedy theater smells, you know, like when you look at it. Oh, and Brett pulls his bleach.
Yeah, it's a two drink minimum, and also people are getting an artichoke dip, and like the one sober guy's getting like a cappuccino.
Yeah, and everyone looks a little insane, sitting by the wall waiting. And I also was like, is it daytime? Like, is this like a 4 p.m. or like 5 p.m. show? Like, what Yeah. Is the timing.
It's the early. Right, yeah, it's the early bird slot.
And Dana seems to be the first person on stage. Like she's
she's the opener.
Yeah, you have like the host who does some like ice breaking, calls out Bo and Max. I would also love to know how many people were actually in the room for this show. Like if it was a packed house or if they just like tried to kind of like cheat it to look like it was a packed house. Just have like a lot of questions about this, her comedy shows and career.
The tension between Brett and Max is already ramping up as Brett attempts to give Max some kind of elaborate pound and some kind of elaborate grip. And it's not like Max like snubs him on the handshake or doesn't notice. He does two out of the three moves, and then he just doesn't want to do the stupid last fist bump part of it, and Brett is relentlessly insists pound it, go sit down, man.
I love Max's like pout refusal. Like Max is kind of it's kind of enjoyable to watch him be like like in the corner there.
Max is, you know, pretty bad, but it takes a lot. It says a lot about Brett that Brett is kind of pushing you towards Team Max, I think.
Yeah. Later on, you have Max say that Brett is his best friend. And I was like,
yeah, that was completely
not real.
All of a sudden, two guys that do not know each other, all of a sudden, best pals. Best
they
mate.
Don't have best friend chemistry at all. Like Brett literally doesn't know any of these people.
Max comes out of his face at Nighthawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both way out of line.
They both go fully crazy. And this was the first time that we've really seen them show any sort of like heightened emotion that's appropriate for reality television. Like they've really like haven't lost their shit. Brett did once at Charlie when she like made fun of him after their date and his like neck veins popped out, and I was like really got chills in that moment. But like since then there's been nothing of note until this like beautiful moment where I don't even get really what they're fighting about. So like Max is saying he's really pissed at Brett because he's going after Dana and they're making out.
Yeah. He's doing that thing where he's like, I said I was cool with it and that it was all good, but you should have known that I didn't really mean that. And it actually wasn't all good. As my best friend, you should have known.
You made out with my best friend. And then Brett is like, though, then Max goes, control your fucking chick, dude, which was wild.
Which, yeah, it was a weird edit. Like Dana wasn't even saying anything. Like that was way out of line. It was way out of line and also didn't make any sense.
And also it's weird that like Dana and Brett don't even sit next to each other at this like dinner out. Like they're at opposite ends of the table. And then Brett goes, we made the fuck out, bro. In L.A., that's nothing.
Yeah.
The classic L.A. rules that everyone knows. In L.A., that's nothing.
Yeah, and then Dana gets the real short end of the stick of the whole situation when, like, Stassi or whoever tees up, like, do you have feelings for Dana? And Brett goes, no.
He goes, I don't have feelings for the girl. Like in a third person brush off when you're sitting right there, I was just like, ouch, that has gotta hurt. Even
and Bo,
if it's you, fake.
Bo recognizes what's going on and kind of steps in a little bit to sort of come to Dana's defense a little bit.
But even he kind of botches it because they're still talking about Dana as though she's not there. Like, yes, they're all referring to her. Because, and then there's Dana, and she is probably feeling, like, the most embarrassed right now and, like, humiliated. And it's like, Dana just says nothing this entire time.
Can you imagine being in a situation where you would use the phrase like bros before hoes in such earnest?
Do you take a shot every time Brett says bros before hoes? Because he has been preaching that for this entire season. And he, like, the moment where he and Max, they just, like, go back and forth and they go, bruh, bruh. Like, go, what, bro?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
just, like, bro yeah, each other. Yeah.
three to five, like, different, like, intonations of the word bro, bruh, bruh. Because, because I guess Max is, like, purportedly, like, some kind of surfer guy, right? So he just, like, reverts yeah. back, like full, like, Pismo Beach or whatever.
But also I have to shout out Sheena, who at the beginning of this scene, like, she doesn't come to Dana's comedy show, which is definitely, like, a power move that she was trying to pull. Sheena walks in looking stunning, and someone goes, Sheena, you look so cute. Great shoes. And she goes, this is so close. I could literally walk here. And they go, did you? And she goes, no, because I wanted to wear heels and I'm going out after this.
I'm going out after this.
Sheena's on the fucking move. She's gracing you with her presence at Nighthawk and then there to, like, back up the dudes and then, like, give, like, great eye reactions.
Yeah, because this is not, we're not out right now, but I will be going out after this.
Yeah, this is, like, my job. And then she goes, I hear they're competing pool parties in the Val tomorrow. I'm shooting, so I can't go to either of them.
This is actually something I love about Sheena. She is never scared. She's not afraid to miss out on a social obligation. You got some people on the show, like James Kennedy comes immediately to mind, who it's like being uninvited or unable to attend is like devastating. But Sheena is always down to skip out, typically because of some kind of injury, but then also, like, yeah, for, you know, professional obligations. And she doesn't, she's eager for any excuse to not come, which I actually love about her.
Yeah, she's very, like, on her hustle more, I think, than anyone else on this show truly is. Because even Sheena was one of the people from the beginning, or, like, early on in the show, would be like, I don't drink, or, like, I don't want to drink. Like, and people would give her shit for, like, yeah, not drinking. Yeah. She's, like, watching her figure and stuff, and she's, like, really picky. Like, Sheena's always doing Sheena, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's right. And it becomes, yeah, we've gotten to the point where we have, like, no choice but just to have the utmost respect for it.
Yeah. She goes, Jax texted me. He told me I was dumb and then I shouldn't have planned my video on this day.
You're dumb.
You're dumb. I love it. Lala also has, like, a huge stick up her ass against Tom and Ariana. Like, something has changed, and she's, like, I don't know when the moment was where she became, like, so anti them and so team Jax and Brittany, but it's, like, extremely clear at this point that she's, like, firmly against them.
It has to just have, like, something to do with Jax's relationship with Randall or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they're, like, aren't they all, their pals are always on the jet and stuff together? Like out of everybody, Brittany and Jax are Lala and Rand's, like, closest pals, right?
Yeah, I think they just, like, travel together as couples and are always hanging out. But Lala's taking it to, like, a mean place because she, at one point, like, Sheena's like, are we going to, like, hop back and forth between the two? Or, like, what's going to happen? Lala goes, no, yeah, I'm, like, not going to a frat house with no furniture. We don't even know what food will be there. I'm going to Jax and Brittany's like an adult. I was like, what does being an adult have to do with this? Like, none of you are acting like adults in this situation.
It makes no sense. The real burn on Sandoval Ariana's house is the risk of being nipped by some kind of brown recluse spider while you're over there.
Yeah. Tom Sandoval, I forgot to mention this in the last episode of Sup, but there was a moment in last week's episode where he like turned around, you got like some sort of shot of him from the back, and the spider bite was still in full effect. Like it was healing, it was on the mend, but still very much like a real presence.
Yeah, the bite was fully still rocking as of the penultimate episode. I was keeping an eye, keeping an eye out for it this episode.
Did you see it this episode? He wore kind of longer sleeves.
I saw it when you saw it. Actually, so weird. Schwartz is wearing a Band-Aid on his arm in the exact same spot as where Sandoval's spider bite is. So I'm like, is this some kind of gesture of solidarity? Perhaps it's left over from the bathroom cleaning matching outfits where they did a roll up sleeve and a matching Band-Aid over the tricep, perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that it could, or it just could be like an empathetic move on Schwartz's part to like really put himself in the headspace of Sandoval.
I mean, honestly, forget about Charlie, Danica. The breakout new cast member of the season is Sandoval's spider bite.
Yeah, it really is haunted. It's managed to haunt continually.
He's having a full necrosis or whatever you call it.
Yes, he ended up, we all are forgetting that he ended up in the emergency room because he almost got killed by a spider bite that he weeks later is still actively battling. Like it has not healed.
They almost got his ass.
Yeah. It's going to take more than a bite to take Sandoval down.
I think so.
Jax is back at Lit Method, just like Insta-storing from the parking lot, like covered in sweat. He looks like a murderer who's escaped from Alcatraz and has like swum like all the way through the San Francisco Bay and like emerged from the water only to tell you that he's doing two-a-days at Lit Method. He goes, they should just put a mattress here, honestly. Like...
He has no control. He has no control over his face. Like if he was in, if he was doing like that part of the Shavasana or whatever, where you have to relax your face, that would be the whole 45 minutes. Just like each piece, like taking so long to just chill out, you know?
Mm-mm. And then Brittany and Ariana and Lisa are donating clothes to Lisa's charity of choice, Covenant House, and
for at-risk youth.
Yeah, for at-risk youth. And Lisa brings up all the drama between Jax and everyone to like key it up for Brittany and Ariana to like duke it out in front of her.
But she's skewing a little bit on to Ariana and Sandoval's side, as anyone with a good head on their shoulders would.
Yeah, but it only gets Brittany even more pissed off. Because it seems like the party's happening that afternoon. Like, they went there in the morning, and then, like, the party's happening in 2 hours.
Yeah, they did an early morning Covenant House check-in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where Matt on Melrose Place used to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Covenant House. But they called it like a halfway. Yeah, it was like an off-brand Covenant House. They just called it like the halfway house or something.
Perfect. I love Lisa's like working that just like so organically into the mix. Just to remind everyone that she's like a great person.
Yeah, and just dropping off her finest cashmeres.
Mm-hmm. When Brittany's like, I don't even have a cashmere. And like it's trying to touch it. And Lisa yanks it away.
Whisks it away.
I need more of that. Yeah.
And Lisa's like, oh, and in our household, dear, we just call these sweaters.
Yeah. A jumper.
A jumper.
Ariana basically reveals that she tries to say, like, Katie was on board from the beginning with this, like, dueling party, which really heats Brittany up. And so...
Yeah, then, unnecessary muckraking on Ariana's part.
Yeah. And then we cut to Katie and Tom having lunch. And Tom tells her about the parlay of the investment into the restaurant next door. And she's really touched. And they have like a touching moment. where they're I thought, on the same team.
They're on Bubba.
More team.
I thought a parlay was when two sea captains decide to stop firing their cannons at each other and like have a chat on the deck.
Oh yeah. My only other like parlay that I knew of was like a gambling term.
Yeah, but I think maybe the gambling term kind of applies. Like, it's like you let it ride, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just letting it ride. And she thinks it's the right choice, and everyone's really happy. And then
I'm excited for them.
Yeah, I mean, I want their success. Like, I want to see more of the Toms, like, working Tom and, like, seeing the drama that just naturally occurs there, I think would be interesting. I feel like there's a lot of characters to mine from within that world. So I'm open to it.
Schwartz seems like he's kind of, you remember when he was just in that deep kind of like ashy pale potential opioid addiction phase? He seems to have kind of snapped out of it.
He seems a little less, like, more healthy this season for sure.
And I think as much as it surprises me to say it, I think Maloney was like in good form in this episode as well.
Yeah, I was enjoying her. She seems to like have mellowed out. She's still, I like that she has, I like seeing their tempers flare, but both of them focusing on another person instead of going
directed at somebody else.
Yeah, being like a unified force.
Yeah.
Brittany texts Katie, Brittany and Lala both on that text chain. I would never want to be. And Brittany's like, I hear it was your idea to throw a party today. And then Lala goes, not cool, Katie. So then Katie immediately starts crying.
This always happened. Katie starts crying at the lunch.
Yeah, she like goes from like happy Bubba hours to just like she gets that text and immediately is like misty eyed, and then she's like, I have to call them and like see what's going on and like clear my name. And then she calls Brittany and then goes from sad to mad when Brittany's like, you write text all the time, like you should really get you should have some empathy. And then Katie starts like raging out. Tom Schwartz, his reaction is to be like, Bubba, no, shush, shush, shush.
yeah.
Which I'm like, don't shush her. Like, she let her just be mad.
They do one of those genius cuts that they'll do every once in a while to the hostess kind of glancing over, which probably like is just some B-roll that has nothing to do with the actual incident. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie immediately triggered by being called out for her rage text, which let's not forget, Katie invented the rage text.
Yeah.
The phrase rage text is attributed to Katie Maloney. Without her,
we are today. Yeah.
We don't know about it. It's not a thing.
And, like, she's a trailblazer in that sense.
Yeah.
Pay her respects. But then I love it. Then Schwartz he's, like, shushing her, and then he gets triggered and grabs the phone and he goes, you're being an idiot. And I love it when he goes from, like, sweet, like, cause he's such, like, tries to be, like, floppy and sweet, but really he does have a lot of underlying rage.
He crosses the line every once in a while, and I think that you're an idiot to Brittany is an example of that.
Yeah, it was a bit like he doesn't know how to funnel the rage. Like, there's a way to express your anger with someone and honor how angry you're feeling, but not like name call and like in an unaffected.
But again, we don't necessarily know the actual nature of their relationship. I mean, you could picture having certain friends that you would just be like, yo, you're being an idiot, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds a little too harsh from where I'm sitting on the couch, but maybe that's par for the course for them. I don't like this. Yeah. Like, you get the text on the group text, and then you get a little side text from Lala. Like, you get the side text from Carter about some other shit. And then it's like, you're on the phones on speakerphone. It's getting passed around the table and shit. It's like, too much.
There's not like, they really don't know how to communicate effectively on this show, but it is great for the viewers. because it results in ultimate dysfunction.
It's a lot of it's a lot of communication, a lot of ineffective communication.
Yeah. Then Brittany just gets home and is immediately back to pouring shots for herself.
She's upgraded to like a like an uncommon James like tin shot glass, but at least she's pouring for two now. She's at least getting she's got Jackson on it now, and she's gone from I didn't look too hard. I think she was initially chasing with some kind of canned beverage, a diet ginger ale or something, and now she's doing like a full like diet peach Snapple or something.
Great, an upgrade for the party. I just wrote "what a horrific life" in my notes about their like whole party setup and house and everything. And then I think that this party must be happening at like 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, because the only people that are showing up are like Vanderpump Rules adjacent type of people.
You think if it had been on a Saturday, you would have got like a different cast of characters?
Yeah, or just like more of a rager. Like, I feel like at the summer house, since it's on weekends and they throw parties, now their parties just like fill, like they are truly having like big blowouts. And I didn't see much blowout energy at the Ariana and Sandoval's.
Really? I thought, to me, the party was popping.
I mean, it was popping, like, but it also, I think, like, maybe
it's a little bit sparsely attended.
People were there. Yeah. And, like, it was like they shot it in such a way where they're like, okay, everyone splash. And then everyone's in the pool splashing, and like a quick cut to DJ JK on the turntables. And then, like, everyone's gathered around the kitchen island. But I think that I would have loved to see like 100 more people there.
Yeah, it certainly was definitely probably a strung together manufactured moments. I mean, nobody is doing like a full splash moment in the pool like that.
Yeah.
The party was popping. The yurt was chic.
Mm-hmm. I love a yurt moment.
The editors like did the way they shot it. They did Brittany and Jax dirty by the way they shot it. But all you need to know is that the party that Charlie's at is the party.
Yeah, that's where you want to be.
And end up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charlie goes, who wants to be at Jax's retirement party?
Because Jax is the same age as her friggin' dad.
Yeah, she says that he's the same age as my dad. I don't want to like hurt the old man. And then Katie and Dana sidebar in a yurt.
And then, yeah, I was like,
like the second time they've ever talked in their life. I just wrote, Katie is blazed.
She's browned out.
Yeah, she's fully like her eyes are like half open. She's just like, yeah, whatever. They I was like, yeah. I love a blazed Katie.
Yeah, they both took like a stem.
Mm-hmm. And Brett randomly shows up to Jax's party, which seemed like a weird move.
Like, unexpected, but then made so much sense.
Yeah. Like, of course, you would be Team Jax.
You're really drawing, like, the line is drawn in the sand. Hadn't Jax been popping off recently about, like, the idea of there being two different shows?
Yeah, I think he was saying, like, no one would watch the show. No one would watch the people who are not the OGs or something like that.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if this is what the two different shows is going to look like, I mean, we know which show we're watching, and it ain't Jax's show.
No, I was like, this party looks miserable. Like, Randall wasn't even there. Like, we didn't even get to see him there.
Why wasn't he there?
I don't know, because didn't they rent that, like, pool slide together? That was like a whole thing that you heard Lala say.
That was
yeah, like Jax and Randall went halvesies on this like pool slide that also is like very dangerous. Like, there's not enough space in the pool to be sliding at such like a trajectory, and you see it later when Stassi has to hold up a floaty to protect one side of the pool so that someone can slide down and not like bash their head into the concrete.
just skim across the top of the pool directly into the fence that separates the neighbor's yard. Yeah,
if you need the top of the pool, hit their tailbone on just like the edge of the pool and then like fall over into the grass.
Yeah, if you need somebody to fake arrest one of your friends or a pool slide that's too big for the space, Randall's got you covered.
Yeah, say no more.
And Jax is so worthless. He's got Brittany over there slaving over the grill.
Burgers. Yeah.
And now, listen, if Brittany's the grill master, I love that. I don't want to come off as like trad, you know, but yeah. Like it seems to me like Jax of all people should at least be flipping the damn burgers. You know what I mean?
You would think given his penchant for like cutting grass and like all those typically male activities that he would also take over the grill. But then it just hurt too, because it's like you see Brittany, she's making the burgers, like forming the burger balls of ground beef. And that's why she can't like hug Brett when he walks into the house. And then you have that glorious moment where Lala goes, I would help, but I can't. I'll get meat in my nails. And is showing Jax.
I've got my claws on. I get meat in them.
So she's doing meaty nails, which I understand. But then like later, Brittany also is not only in charge of forming the patties, she then has to cook them.
Yeah. Nobody wants to find like a finger, like one of those fingernails that has like a piercing in it, like a ring through the end of it that came off of Lala's pinky finger stuck in like the turkey burger.
Mm-mm. No, you need to have gloves on. You can't just, nails and ground beef don't mix.
Mm-mm.
And then Brett again is declaring that he's a bros before hoes type of dude, and all I did was make out with Dana, and now it's like I've committed World War 83. Which I was like, what?
Brett is really making no sense. And then Stassi kind of is articulating. She's kind of taken in by his nonsense, calling him like the great douchebag poet or something.
Yeah. And then,
but he's really he's just being kind of gross and all over the place.
Yeah, he doesn't add up. And then Jax comes over and he's like, you're like a caring dude. I mean, I just like, I've done all sorts of things. Like, I just stick my dick in anything that moves. Like, and I was like, whoa, Jax, like, you need to chill on the coke confessions, my boy.
It's such a, it's actually kind of elegant on Jax's part, because it's so glaringly honest that he's on something. So it's really kind of smart, this sort of, he's obviously just on coke, right? So it's kind of smart of him to do like a light admission of just being on Adderall all the time, you know?
Yeah, no, he's definitely like, he knows how to portray his own drug use in like what is a seemingly acceptable way to him. Kristen and Carter reveal that they're dating, or more, Kristen reveals that they are dating. And I'm obsessed with their messy breakup.
Carter is puffing on that hookah like the fucking caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. And like,
he's just like silent, you know, he doesn't really say anything.
Because as you well know, they only get paid if they speak lines. So every puff on that Nargile is costing him like a couple $100.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just like silently sitting there while Kristen is revealing they're in the dating phase of their breakup, which like, I feel like I've fully been in the dating phase of a breakup, and like, I get it, but I'm also just like here for the delusion. And then Kristen says, does she say that Sheena says that Stassi is over at Jax's house talking shit about Tom and Ariana's like lack of furniture?
Yeah, no, she said that Stassi was talking shit, but I don't know if she said that Sheena said that Stassi was talking shit.
Okay, I thought that Sheena, because I was like, that's masterful. Sheena's not even there. But maybe she's saying, like, just tattling on Stassi after the dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she, I mean, she might have heard it from Sheena, because Sheena is often, right? Sheena is often the go-between between the Kristen and the other witches of WeHo.
Yeah. So I think Sheena is like whistleblowing on everything that the witches are saying.
Sandoval, and I was laughing all morning thinking about this, actually. Sandoval and Schwartz are in the kitchen, and Schwartz goes, "It's like a softcore porn out there, man." And Sandoval goes, "Thanks, man." You know what this party reminded me of?
What?
Did you ever used to have The Box growing up? Or, like, I think they called it, like, Video Music Box, and then they, like shortened it to The Box. It was like a music video channel, but it was a kind of like on demand before on demand. Did you ever have that?
No, I don't think I did.
It was a on demand music video channel. It was like early 90s, and they would play music videos, and then they would scroll along the bottom of the screen, the names of videos with a little numeric code. And then you would call a 900 number, and it would just charge your phone bill like $4.99 or whatever. And you'd type in the numeric code of the video you wanted to see. And then it would come up, you know, whenever it got up in line.
Yeah.
But we would always be watching The Box, like, fourth grade, fifth grade. So we always would just be ordering the raunchiest rap videos, which at the time were just really, you know, crappily filmed, like, bikini pool party scenes. Mm-hmm. And that was the energy that I was getting from this party.
Yeah, it was like music video, like, rap pool party of just girls. Like, I love any time women are lining up by a pool, just like shaking their asses at the camera.
Yeah, everybody's having a thong moment. Everybody's really shaking it, doing a high twerk.
Sandoval pops like a champagne and sprays it all over everyone. It was a touching moment too when Tom and Tom are just like connecting over the fact that they're like parlaying their money in expanding TomTom, and like, wow, how far we've come. And then Sandoval goes, "I want to be this way until we die."
Amen, brother.
And they just kind of slap palms, and Schwartz is misty eyed, but they're just like soaking in their success. It's like, yes.
That's what I mean, though. They're in a good place.
Yeah, they're in a great place. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to see them take it to the next level. Because there is maybe Schwartz, it does seem like he takes a lot of pride in whatever he's been doing at TomTom, which it seems like, I mean, it's given him a purpose in life that I think previously wasn't there.
Because we know he has absolutely no business acumen, but it looks like there is a role for him at TomTom, just as kind of a host, you know, which and it seems like he's been able to rise to the occasion.
Yeah,
He's loving it.
He's like, "I've poured my heart and soul. You know, I poured my heart and soul," to the point where he's like crying. He's like, "I've worked so hard." And I'm like, I love the pride that he's taking in driving, you know, a few miles over to the restaurant, going into the restaurant and like shaking hands with people.
Yeah. And to drink 12 shots, but a half shot at a time.
Yeah. Like, by all means, like, take a bow, man. You've really done it. You've made this place what it is. Then Katie and James hug.
Yeah. And I mean, you know Katie's been dosed if she's ready to forgive James Kennedy.
Yeah. And even when James like pops in with like more energy and he's like, "Oh, I was getting 10 out there." And he's like, "It's good to have something to do, keep myself busy. And like everyone's just soaking in, like, wow, not only is Tom Tom like such a successful restaurant, like James Kennedy's got his life together. He and Katie are on good terms. Like there's a lot of hope that we see at the end of this episode.
It was a truly uplifting moment.
Mm-hmm. And then only to be brought back down by cutting back over to Jax and Brittany's death trap party, where Stassi has taken a break from holding up the floaty so that necks aren't broken on the slide to talking to Jax and having like a real heart to heart moment in the living room.
Stassi is, I think, correct in that she is probably the best and perhaps only person that can maybe talk some sense into Jax.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's necessarily effective, but she's the woman for the job, seemingly.
Zero effectiveness, but like he won't rage out on her like he does with other people. Like she somehow finds, like she has the ability to just connect to his heart, I think.
He says that his
this is a wild admission.
His brain is sprained, just like you would sprain another muscle. And when you sprain a muscle, you have to rest it.
Yeah.
And it's like, did somebody tell him that?
I don't know where he got this info, because I was pretty sure. Where too, did that he come he up said,
with this theory?
With his brain sprain, he said, "My brain is a sprained."
I believe he did.
He did say, "My brain is a sprained."
And the guy, he did it Italian style.
"My brain is a sprained." When you sprain your ankle, do you walk on it? No, that's how the brain works. It's science.
So what is he even saying, that that him acting like a loon is, that's his version of not walking on his sprained ankle, i.e. not using his brain? That he's like giving his brain some kind of rest, which results in his brain just lashing out at everyone around him in fits of rage?
I think he's trying to like communicate that he's depressed or anxious or is undergoing some sort of mental health thing, but doesn't know how to like I think he probably isn't. He's just experienced, I mean, or maybe he is, as a result of having shoved down his emotions for so long and they're now like coming up to haunt him. But I just never cease to marvel at his lack of any sort of how mental health even works, and his like just reaching for straws of being like, "My brain is a sprained." And like, just like, what happens?
He's truly cracking up. I mean, there's no question. And he really needs to find some kind of outlet that's not, you know, high interval intensity training.
Yeah. Like, I mean, keep up the workouts. They can't hurt. But you also need to see a therapist. Like, you really need to see a mental health professional.
A therapist that's not going to be willing to film with you, for starters. Yeah. That should be
You should probably see a male therapist, like just someone that you can connect with that you're not going to like sexualize. And yeah, maybe reach out to your mom, because I think things are still like in a really bad place between him and his mother.
Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah. Like I just don't, I mean, we all knew that this was inevitable, that Jax would get here. I'm just upset that we don't get to see more of it.
And then we get the kind of like the minor chord moment when he says, "I just have a feeling I'm going to take it out on Brittany." But then it's like, I mean, he's not going to take it out on Brittany next week. So it's like, you know, when is he going to take it out on Brittany?
Yeah. I feel like it's also, he's doing this in service of whenever he does take it out on Brittany, so that he can be like, "I warned you, like, I warned everyone that this was going to happen."
You've been warned.
Yeah, like, you knew it was coming, so, like, you now can't get mad at me because I did it. Brain, whatever is sprained, I'm loving whatever logic it's put into his head.
I did have relations.
Did go to Vegas and have relations with the.
He's good. I can see Jax's future, and it is more relations.
Yeah, way more relations.
It's relations heavy.
But also, I would love like any sort of documentation of their lives in quarantine, because like, but that actually might be a really positive experience for Jax and Brittany, because they're just forced to be around each other and there are no outside influences to make either of them angry. So I bet that that's like their relationship flourishes when they're just forced to be together.
Could help to rebuild the trust once, you know, all opportunity for Jax to cheat has essentially been taken off the table.
Mm-hmm. So their transition, like, I'll bet Brittany's really happy, like, the stay-at-home orders are extended for another few months, because that means, like, Jax has very limited options of where he can physically go.
Yeah, she's thriving.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast, going on this journey with me, bearing witness to the wild world of Vanderpump Rules. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. High point of pandemic for me personally.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
I would love it if anyone wanted to follow me on Twitter. It's Matthew Midnight, but it's a 4 for an A.
Love that. mixing it up. Well, until next time, I can't believe next week is the finale.
I know.
That went by so fast. But
I was a little bit surprised to hear the, you know, next on the next week on the season finale. Was a bit jarring.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're gonna have. I hope that they have like multiple Zoom reunions. Like they stretch it out to be like a 3-part reunion that we're used to. But like I also, because I'm open, I like the Zoom setup. Like I've just accepted that that's the way we consume media now.
On the one hand, we need a Zoom reunion. We're going to have a Zoom reunion. I'll certainly tune into all 3 of them. but I do at this point tend to get a bit triggered when I see like a FaceTime or a Zoom interface on my television.
It's a sad reminder of like the state of the union. But
yeah, these times.
I hope we now get a more secrets than ever. Revealed. Yeah, in these uncertain times, we definitely need a secrets revealed with some actually juicy secrets.
And then, I mean, you just kind of touched on it a minute ago, but it'll be, hopefully we'll get, you know, a sort of a quarantine montage of found footage off of everybody's phone when we pick back up.
Yeah, and like a promise of a new season somehow, some way. Like, I'm going to need a lot of like hand holding over these next few weeks from Vanderpump Rules.
Indeed. A reassurance.
A reassurance, yeah, from Andy and Co. All right, well, bye.
I know I'm feeling, because I know.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.